The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. No slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. And they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. There are many heartwarming and beloved passages in the Scriptures, and this is not one of them. If the world hates you, Jesus says, realize that it's hated me first. You will not find that one cast in marble, etched in gold, or stenciled in a greeting card by Hallmark. It might not be the most popular passage that Jesus ever gave us in the Gospels, but it is very, very useful. Let's take a closer look. First thing we need to understand is what Jesus means when he says the word world. Because in the New Testament, the word world is used in two different senses. On one hand, there are passages like, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And in that sense, the word world means the people and all the peoples of the world. And then there are other passages, like this one, or like St. John says in his first letter, "Do not love the world or any of the things that are in the world. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you." And in that sense, the word world means something different. It means the spirit that opposes God. It opposes God's power because it does not trust in God's goodness. That's the sense in which Jesus uses the word world here. Ever since the Garden of Eden, man has been tempted by pride. And pride, remember, is not a warm feeling of loyalty or love for your school or your country. Pride, rather, is the spirit of Adam and Eve that says, "I know better than God. God said, don't. I say, do. God says, it is harmful. Please don't. I say, it's good for me. I will." Ultimately, pride is a lack of faith and a lack of trust in God's goodness. Every sin since the original sin is reduced to that same recipe. A disobedience towards God that comes from a lack of trust in his goodness. When Jesus says world, he's talking about that spirit. It's the driving spirit of secularism. It's the spirit in our music and in our movies. It's in our banking and it's in our industry. It's in our government and it's in our leading universities. Generally speaking, wherever power is loved, money is loved, prestige is loved, Jesus Christ is hated. Why? Because he's a threat to what people perceive will make them happy. It's interesting, you will not find this hatred towards any other figure in history. You will not find this hatred towards Buddha. You will not find this hatred toward Confucius. There's nobody, you know, protesting outside the Zoroastrian center. And that's because these other religions do not ask you to curb your will and to trust God's goodness in the three areas of life that matter most. Three areas of life. You most viciously defend your own will. It's been said that in the human heart, there are three basic fears. The fear of having no one, the fear of being no one, and the fear of having nothing. We fear being destitute, being insignificant, and being unloved. And so, People pad up their life with as much of this as they possibly can, and this explains the drive towards power, sex, and money. And it's what people genuinely believe will make them happy, and it's what leads to despair, because they get these things and they realize that they're not happy. And it's in these same three things that Jesus Christ counsels us to trust him in the Gospels. From this comes the idea of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Understand, those are not just for monks and nuns and priests. In one fashion or another, everyone is counseled by Christ to trust the Lord in these three areas. And that's where the opposition comes from. People don't want to trust God in these three areas. And that is why Christ and his followers and anyone who represents him is hated. You will never fit in this world unless you abandon your faith. Never. So stop expecting it. You may ask why Jesus tells us these things. There's a couple reasons why he tells us. The first is that it helps us to persevere. You know, if the weatherman gets on the TV and he says there's a big blizzard coming next week, you better dig in and hunker down. You might not like the news, but you're glad that you're told, because it helps you persevere, helps you get ready. Maybe you're flying in an airplane, and the pilot says, return to your seats and fasten your safety belts, because we're all about to hit turbulence. You might not like the news, but you're glad that you're told, because it helps you get ready. Well, this is the spirit in which Jesus tells us this. Without this knowledge, we probably would fold in self-doubt. We would not persevere. But there's another reason Jesus tells us. Here's one to pray about. Is it helps us to realize that you've got to choose a side in the great fight between good and evil. You don't want to choose a side. You want to sit on the fence. You can't sit on the fence. I heard a story once. Don't remember the details. Pardon me for forgetting the details. But it was told of a man who was watching play out before him the great battle between good and evil on the field. And on one side was Christ and all the forces of heaven. And on the other side was the devil and all the forces of hell. And the man said, "Oh, this looks like a real dangerous battle. I think I'll sit this one out." And he sits on the fence and watches. And at the end of the battle, the devil walks up to him and says, "Thanks for joining my side." The man says, "Your side? No, I didn't join your side. I'm just sitting here on the fence." The devil says, Yeah. That's because I own the fence." You got to pick a side. Jesus says anyone who follows him is going to carry a cross. Please don't think you're going to be exempt. But also don't lose heart. Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Understand this. God is not up in heaven, sitting on his cherubim throne, trembling in fear, you know, at the powers of the secular world, at CNN or the United Nations. And neither are the saints. And neither are the angels. And neither should you. Because we've got a God who does not lose battles. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. It doesn't mean it's not going to be difficult. But it does mean this. Discipleship is the only thing in the world in which the only way you fail is to quit. Do you know that? The grace of perseverance and the grace of salvation are the same grace. If you don't quit, you'll make it. Your weakness cannot stop you. Your personal faults that you struggle with day after day cannot stop you. Not even your sins, and you're struggling with them. As long as you don't stop repenting, they cannot stop you. The only way you can fail as a disciple is to quit, because we have a God who does not lose battles. Jesus says, yes, you'll have trouble in the world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's remain in good cheer by remaining in him. Amen.